Several years ago, I was visiting with a good friend of mine. He was catching me up on a lot of the things that had been going on in his life. He was going on and on about the triumphs and the struggles and the conflicts and all the different things that were going on in his life. And at one point, he sort of realized he was monopolizing the conversation. And he said, "Well, enough about me. What do you think about me?" Of course, he was joking, but it is kind of interesting to see how a lot of people are very self-centered, self-focused. St. James writes in this letter, "Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice." Those words really leapt off the page at me when I read them. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. Selfishness and self-centeredness and self-seeking, it really introduces problems into our world. We know that very well. Whether we're talking about the global level or the level of a community, a household, or even the inside of our own heart. I think the greatest struggle in the spiritual life has to do with really honestly seeking God's will instead of just doing whatever we want all the time. You look at the history of salvation. We look at the scriptures, the book of Genesis, all the way back to the very beginning. You only have to get a couple pages into the book before sin enters the picture. And what is the essence of the first sin? It's a disobedience of what God had commanded in favor of what Adam and Eve wanted to do. So we see from the very beginning, this struggle has been there. A real acceptance of what God wants for us and what God tells us over and above our own personal desires. It would be a challenge, I think, for any of us to identify a single sin in our past that didn't have something to do with selfishness of one kind or another. Because the essence of sin is, I'll do it my way instead of God's way. A priest friend of mine from Camden, New Jersey, was sort of lamenting that at a lot of his funerals, or in preparation for a lot of the funerals, people are requesting that Frank Sinatra's My Way be played at the funeral. And I thought to myself, what an awful thing. I mean, if I die and you're sitting around trying to figure out what music to play at my funeral, I will be severely offended if you choose to play My Way. But you think about it, really, if your whole life can be summed up by the phrase, I did it my way. What does that say about your relationship to Jesus Christ, who calls each one of us not to do it our way, but to do it his way? What is the solution? How do we deal with this struggle? How do we overcome the tendency, or at least the temptation, to always be thinking about what we want to do? Well, the first thing, I think, is to recognize that God's plans for us will lead to greater happiness than our plans for us will lead to. That's a hard one to accept, really. Most of us operate out of the conviction that we know what's going to make us happy in life. That's why we pursue the things that we want, because we're pretty sure that those things are going to make us happy. Now, I don't want to make it sound like what God wants for us is completely different from the things that we desire. The aim would be that we would really desire the things that God wants for us. So we don't see God's will as something oppositional to us, but as something that is for our betterment, for our growth, for our development, and ultimately for our supreme happiness, the highest degree of happiness that we can experience. You know, we talked about looking at Genesis and the origin of sin in the world. How does the story unfold? Well, God keeps showing, he makes covenants with his people and so forth and so on. There's prophets, kings, and judges, and the wisdom books, and all these different things. Of course, the story comes to its culmination in the life of Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He takes Adam and Eve's attitude of, we want to do it our way, he turns that on its head. And Jesus says, my food is to do the will of my Father. Jesus finds his greatest satisfaction and fulfillment in his day-to-day life in doing exactly what the Father sent him into this world to do. And so, if we're asking ourselves the question, how do I overcome this struggle in my life to really do what God wants me to do instead of just seeking my own ways? The answer, the simple answer is, become more like Christ. Become more like Christ. That's it. Easy, right? No, some things are simple, but not easy. It's a simple solution, but not always easy to accomplish. And it doesn't just happen magically. It doesn't happen by default. We really have to work at it. And so I want to leave you with a few practical tips as to how to become more and more like Christ. The first would be, pray every day. We have to pray every day that God will change our mind and our way of thinking. Because until we are deeply convinced that God's way is superior to ours, that God has maybe a little bit more wisdom than we have, we're not going to see any change until we are really convinced. So we ask God every day, Lord, help me to believe that your way for my life, your plans for my life, are what I really want. Secondly, spend time with the Lord. I say from time to time that couples that have been married for a long time start to resemble each other. Not always, but in many cases. Well, the same is true. If we come and spend time with the Lord, especially in the Blessed Sacrament, I guarantee you, if you spent 10 minutes here every day, even if you had to sit outside in the parking lot or something, if the church was locked, if you were here in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament every day for 10 minutes, you would absolutely see a change in your life. Because spending time with him, you become more and more like him. The third thing has to do with reception of Holy Communion. And receiving Holy Communion mindfully. How easy is it for us to be thinking of 1,000 different things when we're at Mass? And even when we're coming up to receive Holy Communion, we're thinking about what we're going to do this afternoon, or that conversation we had yesterday, or we can be thinking of all kinds of different things. But I would just encourage you, do your best to clear away those things and focus and open your mind and heart and say, Jesus, come into my soul and make me like you. The fourth thing, to go to confession from time to time. Be reconciled with the Lord. When we are at odds with God in some way, it's much more difficult for us to become Christ-like. When we are at peace with God, when we are in deeper union with God, then we become more and more Christ-like. The fifth thing is something that is very important, and that is to to foster a deeper prayer life, and not just be in the presence of God, but foster a deeper prayer life day by day. Make sure that every day you talk to God, but also leave time for silence. We need that time for silence. Not that we're going to hear God's voice booming from the heavens, telling us exactly what he wants us to do. But we'll start to notice more and more the moving of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And that's chiefly how God communicates with us. So foster a deeper life of prayer. And finally, also foster devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, she didn't have the advantage of being divine as her son did. And yet, she lived a life that was not selfish. She was not always thinking about what she wanted and how to make her life more pleasant and comfortable. She always wanted to do God's work. And she was always open in that. And of course, she found great joy in that. Mary is a mother of joy. She's not a sourpuss, you know, grump all the time. She found great joy in doing God's work. So these six things, these are not, you know, it's not an exclusive list, of course, but first, praying for God to help us change the way we think about what he wants for our life so that we really are convinced that his way is best. Secondly, spending time with God, with Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Third, receiving communion mindfully. Fourth, going to confession. Fifth, fostering a deeper prayer life. And sixth, loving Our Lady more and more. By the way, Frank Sinatra's tombstone does not read, "I did it my way." It says, "The best is yet to come."